A very good day to you wherever you are. My name's Lawrence Tratt, and this episode is titled Multiplicity Choices Are Hard to Model and Change, published first on May the 26th, 2022. Programming involves continually making choices whether we realize we are doing so or not. We hope that each choice advances us towards our intended goal of making a program that does what its users will want it to do. However, because the problems we are tackling are nearly always bigger than our ability to fully comprehend them, we often make choices that we later have to correct. In my experience, the most common type of correction I have to make is where I realize that a piece of information that I'd localized to one component is also required by another component. Depending on the nature of the components involved, functions, classes, and so on, there are various ways of fixing this. Sometimes I might explicitly pass state through all the paths between the two components. Sometimes I might place that state somewhere where it's directly accessible to both components. Either way, the changes involved are invariably tedious and often make the program structure slightly worse, but are rarely intellectually challenging. It can be frustrating to make such changes in a statically typed language when one can spend an inordinate amount of time with the program not compiling, but when the program does compile again, there tend to be few, if any, resulting bugs to fix. There is, though, a type of correction that makes me break out in a cold sweat. When I've made an incorrect choice about the multiplicity of a piece of information. The changes I have to make are typically far less mechanical, giving me many more opportunities to introduce bugs. In this episode, I'm going to look at this in more depth in the context of programming languages with static type systems. Let's start with a simple example. I might have written a system that assumes every customer only has one address to ship to, only to later find out that some customers have more than one address. At first glance, this seems simply to require a mechanical change, for example, changing code that references address to VEC address or something similar. However, there are likely to be knock-on effects that require non-mechanical changes. For example, the GUI that displays addresses will need rethinking. I will probably have to adapt the database schema, and there might be various dynamically typed things, such as SQL statements, that are not easily found. A simple change in requirements can mean that I end up changing huge chunks of the code base. My life, though, could soon get worse. I might later find out that some people don't have, or at least we don't know of, any address at all. Now, all my code that assumed one user has one or more addresses is wrong. Fixing this is much harder than moving from one address to one or more addresses because my language's static type system probably won't give me any leads on what needs fixing. I have moved from a semi-mechanical change to an entirely non-mechanical change, and this is where I start to worry. How can one get into such a situation? Well, to my mind, there are four main kinds of multiplicity, which typically have the following static types. Exactly 1t has the static type t, 0 or 1t's has the static type t or possibly option t, 0 or more t's has the static type vec t, as also does one or more t's have the static type vec t. This immediately highlights two problems when making a choice of multiplicities. First, we have to correctly model the problem domain. How many t's could there be? Second, we have to decide how to model that multiplicity in a programming language that might not have a direct way of expressing it. We almost never fully understand what we want a program to do in advance. In particular, there is almost always a gap between domain experts, the people who have a need which can be met by creating a new or adapting an existing program, and programmers, the people who write programs. It's easy for the two sides to miscommunicate, particularly over small details such as multiplicities. Approaches like UML were partly designed to help two sides communicate such matters, but miscommunication is still inevitable. There are other issues that are easily overlooked. If there is more than one domain expert, it's almost certain that none of them has complete knowledge of the domain, and indeed there will be often gaps in the domain expert's collective knowledge. More often than is typically acknowledged, domain experts' knowledge is also inaccurate. Edge cases are underappreciated, forgotten, or happen so rarely that no current domain expert has seen them occur. All this means that even the most talented programmers find themselves making inappropriate multiplicity decisions, either because they've misunderstood the domain experts or the domain experts are wrong. In either case, we then find ourselves in a situation where our program will disappoint, unless we correct it to do the right thing. Let's assume that we've accurately worked out what the correct multiplicity for a given type T is. We then have to work out how to model it in the programming language of our choice. Since most programming languages can't express all reasonable multiplicities, we then have to decide what balance of accuracy and ergonomics we want. Let's start with the obvious. The exactly 1T multiplicity is easy to model and has good ergonomics. As soon as we move to 0 or 1Ts, we start to encounter messiness. In languages with the direct concept of null, for example Java, a type T covers both exactly 1T and 0 or 1Ts. We can't rely on our static types telling us which of these we intended to model, hence the frequency of null pointer exceptions. Languages with option types, for example Rust, do allow us to accurately distinguish exactly 1T and 0 or 1Ts. Ergonomically, option types are inherently messier to use than languages with null, but I tend to feel that it's worth the pain. However, ergonomics are not a one-off upfront cost. Changing T to option T can be much more challenging than first expected. Code paths that expected a T and thus always succeeded now have to consider the possibility of there not being a T at all, which means the code path may now fail. The static type system is, in essence, forcing me to manually deal with every place that would, in a non-option type language, be a null pointer exception. Do I throw an error, provide a default, or something else? In some cases, only a small number of code paths need updating, but sometimes the changes keep rippling outwards. Ironically, I often find that the hardest places to work out what to do are those where the static type system forces me to deal with the possibility of there not being a T, but my analysis of the code shows, or at least suggests, that at runtime there always will be a T. This leads to a counterintuitive situation. Although the static type system has helpfully told me all the places where changing the multiplicity needs to be considered, I can introduce more runtime errors than I could ever have encountered in a non-option types language. I doubt that actually happens very often, but I strongly suspect that the number of new bugs I introduce scales exponentially relative to the number of places I have to change before the program starts compiling again. A different problem comes from multiplicities that the language's static type system can't directly model. For example, Rust doesn't provide an obvious way of differentiating 0 or more t's from 1 or more t's. Both multiplicities naturally map onto vec t. If I want to correct my code from one of those multiplicities to the other, I'm on my own. If you are unlucky enough to have to correct your code from one of these multiplicities to the other, then, in my experience, you should gird your loins for lengthy debugging and a long tail of bugs finding their way into production. Of course, I can make my own 0 or more vec t and 1 or more vec t types, but I then end up in an ergonomic mess whenever I deal with existing code that expects plain old vec t as inputs, or worse, gives them as outputs. Do I dynamically check the property each time I create one of my new wrapper types? What is the performance cost? It's very hard to give a general rule about whether the resulting ergonomic pain is worth it or not. The solution I most often fall back on is to augment the programming language's support for expressing a multiplicity with asserts. For example, if I want to express a 1 or more t multiplicity, I will sprinkle assert v.len is greater than 0 in many places around the code. If I later have to change that multiplicity, I won't get any additional static warnings from my assert, but I will at least be given informative warnings whenever a code path that hasn't been adapted is about to be executed. That's a lot better than the program spluttering on and falling over in a way that I can't easily trace back to the root cause. As all of this suggests, multiplicities are difficult, especially if we have to change them. Because of this, whenever there is even the slightest doubt as to what the right multiplicity is, we will use the most ergonomic option and hope for the best. In particular, ergonomics heavily bias us towards the exactly 1T multiplicity over all the others. I am no different. I need compelling evidence of the need for another multiplicity in order for me to switch. Because of that, I inevitably use the exactly 1T multiplicity in situations that I later regret. I've given a few suggestions for ways of ameliorating the problems of multiplicities, but is there anything further we can do about multiplicity problems? Better, or at least different programming language design can help us a bit when we have to change a multiplicity. Moving from nullable types to option types is generally an improvement, though it makes some types of code correction far more painful. Dependently typed languages, though not yet widespread and with trade-offs at scale which I only have a dim understanding of, make it possible to differentiate zero or more T's from one or more T's and the like. However, programming language design can't remove all of the pain. It can ameliorate it at best, and sometimes all it does is move the pain around. Even with such improvements, I don't think the ergonomics of multiplicities will change much. Exactly one T will always be much easier to deal with than any other multiplicity. Similarly, I don't believe that the problem of incomplete, inaccurate, or misunderstood domain experts can ever be solved. It's fundamental and best acknowledged as such. Putting all this together can make it clearer why we often encounter software systems that don't accept the multiplicities we expect. The programmers didn't realize the correct multiplicity early enough, and by the time they did realize, the cost of change was considered too high. Every time I encounter a case in someone else's software where I spot an incorrect multiplicity, I try to remember how hard I find to get this right too.